me so much.
Welcome to the July 29th edition of Joma Text Tonight. On the show, will you be presenting a one-hour reading of the work of Charles Bukowski. It happens to be the last public reading Bukowski gave, presented in 1980 at the Sweetwater Inn in Redondo Beach, California. Only a few of Bukowski's readings were filmed, and this one is available on YouTube. It turned out to be his last reading, though he lived for and wrote for another 14 years. The video of that reading remained in storage for over 25 years and is now available. So, here it is. Charles Bukowski reading March 31st, 1980 at the Sweetwater Inn in Redondo Beach, California.
Hello, I come from San Pedro to put Redondo Beach on the map. What was that, motherfucker? Sit up and beg, huh? Tonight is going to be a very dignified reading. I will not rejoin or have rejoinders with the audience. I shall read you dignified poetry in a dignified way. We shall comport ourselves as ladies and gentlemen of culture. Thank you. You know I caught that $73 horse out there last Saturday? I had it, and I had a reason for it. But when you figure a horse is 35 to 1, you just put $2 down because you figure everybody else's reasoning is better than yours. But maybe someday I'll learn. I will soon start to read poetry. Might as well start about now. Jam. Jam. Driving in from the track, I always turn the radio on to the freeway traffic alert station. And the other day I heard the best one. The man said that the Santa Monica Freeway near the San Diego off-ramp was congested due to an indecent exposure case. They're working on getting him off of there now, he said. Meanwhile, I'd suggest you take an alternate route. Which, of course, nobody did. I have now been here 9 minutes. And you've been here a lot longer, haven't you? Now, I'm not as tired as you are, so okay. I know that. What have I seen? I like your way, Catullus, talking about the whore who claims you owe her money, or that guy who smiled too much, must have cleaned his teeth with piss, or how about the poets come with their blameless, tame verse, or about how this guy married a slut. You come right out and say things. You're not like the others. But listen, Catullus, didn't I see you at the racetrack bar last Thursday? You had this great whale of a cunt with you. Must have scaled 190. One breast flopped loose, dressed in a lavender sheet. I believe I heard her pass wind in public. Her teeth green, her buttocks of sagging celluloid. And you drunk and pawing into her anus. Surely that was not you, Catullus, at the racetrack bar last Thursday. Now that guy knew how to write a few lines down. Up and down and sideways and upside down, just the way some of us fuck. Of course, a lot of us don't fuck at all. We sit home to fuck me, right? Aren't you girls? Well, that old ugly guy, how can he think I'd give my pussy to him? Do I have to explain this? This is not dope. All right, you know what it is. An Indian cigarette called a Cher BD. The lepers roll them for... for nothing. Just to feel good doing something, you know, while you're... A leper roll that one did a lousy job. And the guy who made this lighter must have been another leper. This is a poetry reading. I'll read another. Trouble. I had my camera and took the shot through the shop window. And a rather tall, ugly lady, neck bent forward, ran out of the shop. What are you doing? She asked. What did you photograph? I photographed the naked mannequin, I told her. I'd rather you didn't take any more photos, she said. All right, I said, and I walked down the street with my camera, with her staring after me. I felt guilty and upset, even though I had done nothing really improper. It usually happened to me at least once a day. I turned, dropped to one knee, focused, and photographed her. She waved her arms and screamed, and I shot her again. The trouble with these people is that their cities have never been bombed and their mothers have never been told to shut up. Magic? Yes, I'm magic. That didn't work, did it? Something. That was dumb, wasn't it, kid? It was fair. How did I ever get in a fix like this, looking at all these faces? You know, if you think I look bad to you, all right. Eating the father. That isn't what you think it means. Eating the father. Well, the father was dead. He died shortly after the plane crash. They waited some time. They were snowed in, husband and wife. The pilot had gone off for help, but the pilot had been gone a long time. So, bit by bit, they ate the father. It was her father. It worked. They were alive when the rescue team arrived. The pilot who had gone for help had frozen. When they got back to civilization, they told the newspapers that they had asked God, and God had said, "All right." And they knew that father would understand. They were photographed standing together and smiling. I suppose I would have done the same thing without even asking God. But I think a better photograph would have been of the remains of the father. Something like an after Thanksgiving turkey. Okay, now that's the first half of the reading. We'll now call an intermission, and I'll be back for the last 30 minutes. You'll now be entertained by a guitar group who will sing you songs about sailing the dolphins, saving the American Indian, helping the whale, and no nuke at all, you know. Just nookie. Nuke for lever? A nuke for a lever. Okay, baby, you have another drink now. All right. Fook them? How do you do that? Hold your breath. Well, I mean, you got any place else to go, just go on, but don't ask for your money back, because I already got it. So, I mean, you know, if you want to... Got me all upset now, goddammit. Competition. We live by the harbor now, and at night the ships... Let's try this one again. It almost said, sounded ships or shits. Wait a minute. Let me get straight. You get straight while I'm getting straight. I don't know what you got out there, but I know what I got here, all right? What did you say? I'm carrying my steel, man. All right. Now behave yourself, simmer down, and get straight here. What? Francis. Hello. I usually don't look around, scared, you know. Yeah, I'm a sensitive chap, you know. Shower alone.
Hands of an angel.
Yes. Very delicate. I was hoping you'd notice them. I kept... All right, all right. They always say that, but I enjoy talking more, even though it's not as good. Yeah, but I'm running this show. You're not running it. God damn it. You see, you see, you see? Uh-huh. You guys are a real rowdy gang. God damn, I know how I'm gonna handle you. You're tougher than the Vancouver gang. You're tougher than the New York gang. You're tougher than the East Lansing, Michigan gang. And they were tough, man. Redondo Beach, my God, who would have ever thought? I'm gonna do it, don't worry. I'm burning time and making money, that's all, and drinking. You paid $7? I got in free and I'm drinking and taking my time. I figure if you paid $7 to get in. Oh, jeez, I'm gonna puke. Okay, not for you, but for me. For everybody. Everybody's nice, okay? Love the people. Love the whales. Love the dolphins. Oh, this is not the poem. Help the hostages. We gotta worry about the goddamn hostages, don't we? They're suffering. I wish I could read my poetry to the poor hostages right now. I worry so much about the hostages every night, I can't even jack off, man. It's terrible. Okay, okay, all right. All right, all right, all right. You guys, okay. Competition. We live by the harbor now, and at night the ships often blow their foghorns. She is a light sleeper. She will leap up, sitting straight up in bed. Damn! What is it? What is it? I thought you farted. Not that time, dear. She is a good child. Living with me has dysfunctioned her nerves. Actually, I like to save up my farts for the bathtub. Those gray bubbles waft up a magic stench. Farting is much like fucking. You can't do it all the time. But when you do, there oftentimes comes a feeling of proudness, as if your artistry in the act were a rare and precious thing. I fart more than I fuck. And I fart better than I fuck. And I am pleased to be mistaken for a foghorn in the middle of the night. What? What's this, some LSD cum liquid? Take it away. Do you want this?
They're coming to get you.
That wasn't very good, fellow. I know I am too, but I'm getting paid. Oh, I think I am. I'm going to have to find the guy. I haven't, well, God damn it, where is he? Yeah, I get, you know what I get for this reading? $73.80. No. But you're paying to watch me drink it. No way. Not even autographed. It sells for $21.76. Any takers? No, I understand. When bigger and better whores are made, I will be it. Let's go. Hi there. Are they doing a commercial thing, serving drinks while I'm up here burying my artistic soul? How degrading. Shit. I've been here a half an hour, so I figured I didn't bring too many poems. I figured about halfway, yeah, you know, it kills time. Yeah, okay, I got the halfway mark right here. It's all planned, precise, mathematic, and unholy. Do you write little poems at night, fellow? All right, come on, we gotta do this thing. Watch me drink this now. Enjoy it. Write another poem when you get home tonight about, you know what to write. The same thing that keeps coming back every day. Doesn't mean it's bad, it probably means it's bad, that's all. All right, let's get on with the job. Jesus Christ. I've worked factories. This is another factory. Yeah, it is. Read. Catholic Mass. Bullshit. Hey, Book, read your poems, Book. We came here to hear your poems, Book. Ah, I'm in the pulpit. Okay, you got me almost trapped there. Got me running my mouth. Yeah. Those days, I think, are finished, I hope. All right. Let me try. Fringe benefits of a poetry reading. The secret of my endurance. I still get letters in the mail, mostly from crack-up men in tiny rooms with factory jobs or no jobs, who are living with whores or no women at all. No hope, just booze and madness. I get most of their letters on lined paper, written with an unsharpened pencil or in ink, in tiny handwritings that slant down to the left. And the paper is most often torn, usually halfway up the middle. And they say they like my stuff. I've written from where it's at. They recognize it truly. I've given them some chance, some recognition of where it's at. It's true, I was there, even worse off than most of them. But I wonder if they realize where their letter arrives. Well, it is dropped into a box on a wire fence, behind a 6-foot hedge, and a long driveway to a 2-car garage, rose garden, fruit trees, animals, a beautiful woman, mortgage about half paid after a year's residence, a new car, 2 cars, fireplace and a green rug 2 inches deep, with a young boy to write my stuff now. I keep him in a 10-foot square cage with a typewriter. Feed him whiskey and raw whores. Belt buckle him pretty good 3 or 4 times a week. I'm 60 years old now, and the critics say my stuff is getting better than ever. Now and then I get topped, I'll admit it, but not too often. Who the hell took my Indian beaties at the... This hand of the angel took the angel's other hand and stole from it. What does that mean, anyhow? Let's work out. On the hustle. I suppose one of the worst times was when, after a drunken reading and an all-night party, I'd promised to appear at an 11 o'clock English class. And there they sat, nicely dressed, terribly young, awfully comfortable. I only wanted to sleep, and I kept the wastebasket close in case I puked. I think I was in the state of Nebraska or Illinois or Ohio. No more of this, I thought. I'll go back to the factories if they'll have me. Why do you write? A young man asked. Next question, I responded. A sweet birdie with blue eyes asked, "Who are your 3 favorite contemporary writers?" I answered, Charles Bukowski, Charles Bukowski, and Charles. Somebody asked, what do you think of Norman Mailer? I told them that I didn't think about Norman Mailer. And then I asked, doesn't anybody have a beer? There was this silence, this continuing silence. And the class and the prof looked at me, and I looked at them. And then the sweet birdie with the blue eyes asked, won't you read us one of your poems? And then that's when I got up and walked out. I left them in there with their prof, and I walked down through the campus, glancing at the young girls, their hair, their legs, their eyes, their behinds. They all look so good, I thought, but they're going to grow up into nothing and something but trouble. Suddenly, I braced myself against a tree and began puking. Look at that old man. A sweet birdie with brown eyes said to a sweet birdie with green eyes, he's really fucked up. The truth at last. Watch me light the beating. Watch me attempt to light the beating. After this poem, we'll call intermission, and I shall go back in the room and get stinko and return. I hope I shall return. Oh, I will. Don't give me any hope. It's automatic. You'd love to see me die. Just puke my gun. It's all right. It's okay, I understand. Let's go. I am a reasonable man. I had flown 1,000 miles to see her at her request, quote, just for old time's sake, unquote. We'd had the night together, and now it was breakfast in this Arizona cafe. Nice, quiet place, the sun coming in on the red and white checkered tablecloth. She said, I can't eat. The tears were dripping down her face. I'll finish your breakfast, I told her. No use wasting it. She straightened her back, inhaled, and screamed. The waitress and the fry cook came running out. Is everything all right? The waitress asked. Oh, yes, I answered. They both went in back and watched us through the serving window. Across from me, her tears were still coming. Have a bite of bacon, I told her. You'll feel better. Shut up, she said. Just shut up. Look, I told her, I'll leave today. Let's try one more night, she said. We can talk. I finished her breakfast, paid, and we left. That night we drank and talked and then slept. About 3 a.m. I awakened, howling in pain. She had grabbed my balls and yanked. "You crazy bitch," I said. "What's the matter with you?" "You didn't fuck me. You didn't fuck me," she said. I got up and began dressing. "What are you doing?" she asked. Doing, I pulled my pants up. "I'm going to catch a cab to the airport." I sat down and began putting my shoes on. Then she was out of the bed and in between my knees, unzipping me. "I want you to stay," she said, bending her head toward my center. "I want you to stay," she said. "All right," I said. All right, I said. You know, it's hard to talk while that's going on. "All right," I said, as a summer moon came through the curtains, just for old time's sake. See you later. Hey, is the mic on? I'm not going to blow my cunt out of my brain. You still writing your little poems in your mother's bathroom? I'm getting rich off of your stupidity. Accepting me as a major minor poet of America. Whoa, minor major. Hyphen is in the right place, second. Stop it. Am I supposed to jack off or what? Stop it? Words. You all want words. Why do you want words? Because you can't walk down the goddamn street without knowing what's happening, without some central guidance intelligent agent telling you what to do. I'm telling you what not to do. Have that man rolled into a hot bug bun. Well, just forget. Okay, the reading is over now. You will file out up that aisle. Don't panic and don't steal any cars, especially mine. The 19th, one of my fucks? Oh, I thought you said books. Okay. Well, a book and a fuck are the same thing. You open a certain place and you just enter, you know? Let's get on down and out of here, collect our reward, and try to exist. For Christ's sake, or for my sake. Read us your poem. Stop talking, Bukowski. Which Linda? Listen. Okay. Stand up. Suckerfish. No, this is a really good woman. She's had the guts to live with me. And I want to introduce you to Linda Lee Bailey of the Dewdrop Inn of Lee Redondo Beach, California, USA. Where is she? She probably in back jacking off the janitor. What? Linda, where are you? Where? I can't see you. Oh, well, hi there. I recognize you. Okay. Having all this been proven that I'm a man who's able to love another person, it shows that I'm really human, It shows that, you know, I'm not really evil. We shall go on to the next poem, okay? I believe in evil because, let me tell you why. Evil can do something exceptional. Now, accepted beauty only goes on gliding. Accepted beauty. Here I am, accepted beauty. I died on the cross 1,980 years ago. Look at me. Oh, ho. But evil, man, he'd say, hey, motherfucker, eight ball in the side pocket. And he'll do it. I believe in what's happening now. I detest history. Good night. Here's the next poem. Shut up. You're making me dull. I don't want to be dull, you know, because you paid $6. You don't want to see a jerk up here, do you? Or maybe you do, huh? Steve Martin, the jerk, right? Made $18 million, and I went to sleep in the middle of it. It's okay. It's all right. But it just cost you $6, okay? Let's get to work, God damn it! No, we won't. I can't tell you anything, man. Okay, let's go. I'm not going to make it. This is the night I'm not going to make it. They're going to have to pull me out. I'm going to weep on stage and say, all you people are so much better than I am. At all these years, I tried to fool you. All right. Spider-Man. Very good. That was good. That was a good shot. I'll accept that. Okay. Let's go to work. The Beast. It was on it. I know I'm the Beast, but this is about another Beast. Don't you... The Beast, it was on Western Avenue last night, about 7:30 p.m. I was walking south towards sunset, and on the second floor of the motel across the street, at the apartment in back, the lights were on. And here was this man. He must have weighed 370 pounds. He was 6 1/2 feet tall and 4 feet wide, and his arms stretched out, and he rather lazily punched a naked woman in the face. Another woman stood up, and this woman was clothed, and he gave her a whack across the back of the neck. Then he punched the naked one in the face again. He seemed bored. Then I saw him walk to the window and open it. He had a roasted chicken in his hand. He put it to his mouth, bit out half the side, and began chewing. He chewed a minute or two, then he spit the bones out the window. I could hear them clattering down on the sidewalk. God, Jesus Christ, almighty mercy. I saw him looking down at me, and I quickly moved forward, ducking my head down into the night. Downtown area, Hollywood and Western. Yeah, Linda and I were walking along. We saw it. Who took my beaties? Some leper crept up here. Are you some kind of extrovert creature who needs to release himself upon... Let's not go into this thing, you know? This one's not so good. I'm going to read it because it's true. That's all. I like it. It's called Hemingway. Yeah, you know, like me. Kind of almost like, but not quite. Okay. Hemingway. She said it was in Havana in 1953, and she was visiting him. And one day she saw him, and it was in the afternoon, and he was drunk. He was stretched out on these pillows, drunk. And she took a photo of him, and he looked up and said, don't you dare give that photo to anybody. When she came from Italy this summer to visit me, she told me about it, and I said, that must be some photo. She told me that my house was very, very much like his. We drank, had dinner somewhere. Then she had to take a plane out. The photo is framed at the bottom of my stairway now, looking north. He was fat, and he was drunk, and he's in the right place. Are you leaving too? Is there anybody here tough enough to try me? Try some shit. Do some anger. Now that's good. You fight him, you know? Okay. Bandini, you should all read a guy called John Fante. That was a man outside of, you know, Celine. Okay, I'm not going to talk too long. But this guy is a tough motherfucking guy who writes better than I do. Almost better than I do. His name is John Fante. Okay, and that's just look him up. I won't spell anything at you because you want me to. Okay, look. I want to get the hell outside. I sucked his dick and he sucked mine. He has one leg gone, he's blind, and there's nothing left of him. But he's got more human soul than the whole crowd of you sitting here. I would guess that. I might be wrong. John Fante is my buddy out of nowhere. I love him. So let me get on. He's better than a good man. He's a magic person. Everybody should read John Fante. Ask the dust. Wait until spring, Bandini. They go red. any of John Fante is immortal. And this man, Brotherhood of the Grape, this man must not... Okay. Bartender, let me go in. Oh, fan letter. Dear Mr. Kandinsky, you probably get many letters, and I guess you hardly ever care to bother to read them, but shit, man, it would really be good to get an answer from Dinsky, you know, to find it there in the mailbox when I come home from the foundry, whereas I work as a grinder chipper. My girlfriend just left me, man, after 6 years, just like that. Well, I'll just log off and read Kerouac. Did you ever read Kerouac? Do you ever meet Kerouac? You know, you try to come off as some tough old cat, but I bet you're soft, man, soft as slime. I'm 25. I've been writing 9 years, and the stuff keeps coming back. I do jazz poetry readings at the local bar, and they seem to like it. I mean, there are some shits who don't understand anything. Do you write in the morning, or do you write at night? And what's with the racetracks, man? I mean, every time I go to the track, I come back with shit and no toilet paper. Enclosed is some poetry. You don't have to read it. You know, most of your stuff is just exhaustive expressions of two-bit burnt-out metal case fucks. How can you possibly drink when you write? Well, you don't have to answer this letter, and you can tear up this fucking poem and the poems. Forget I sent them. Forget I wrote them. I'm just going to crawl up into the fucking girders and ruminate. Yours, Billy Chips Weatherton. Oh, we're working toward the end. Christ, I'm happier than you are. Hank. Hank, go on, Hank. Yes, I have an address. Unknown. Any of the little tunt, cunt, tunt, puss, tunt tainted, tweeched, zero, tweaked fuck by the surfboarders of hell. And just twitch their nostrils up the new coke of nowhere and leave me alone, goddamn. I came not to Redondo Beach to conquer it, but just to get $1,000. That's all I want. The bar key? What does that mean, the bar key, my friend? Bar keep? Oh, yeah, okay, kid. Very good. See you up here next year. Okay. Lots of luck. Okay, let's wrap this goddamn thing. Okay. The drunk with the little legs. He fell down a stairway as a child. And they had to operate on his legs. And when they were done, his legs were about half the length they were meant to be. And that's the way he grew into manhood, with those very short legs. He hung around Paris cafes and sketched the dancing girls and drank very much. It's strange that most of those who create well seem to have some melody. He was subsisting on his paintings, many of them used by the cafe as advertising posters. But along came the beautiful and terrible whore, and he painted her and became involved, short legs and all. She, of course, was hardly faithful, and one night, defending her faithfulness, she told him about his legs. That ended the affair. He turned on the gas jets, then shut them off to finish a painting. He was a little gentleman. At least he was in this movie I saw. He liked to wear a top hat, and he sketched his things while drinking. Doing it like that, cutting through the odds, he had it down tight and clean. He sketched all the dancing girls that would never be his, and one night he got it all down and done, tumbling drunk down a stairway. Little legs whirling. He became involved with that other terrible and beautiful whore. Tour. I am this low-slung car, deep yellow, driving in an Italian sun. I have a British accent, green shades, no dirt under my fingernails. The radio plays Vivaldi. And there are two women with me, one with raven black hair, the other a blonde. They have small breasts and beautiful legs, and they laugh at everything I say. As we drive up the hilly road, the blonde takes out my penis and begins sucking toward it. While the raven black hair leans across and bites my ear. We stop for lunch at a very pleasant place. We have drinks before lunch, during lunch, and after lunch. After lunch, we will have a flat tire on the other side of the hill, and the blonde will change the tire while the raven black hair photographs me, lighting my pipe against the tree background with flowers, clouds, birds about.
So you've just been listening to an one-hour reading of the work of Charles Bukowski. It was his last reading, delivered in Redondo Beach in 1980, 14 years before his death. And the entire reading of 1 hour and 15 minutes can be found on YouTube. We'll be back next week with another hour-long presentation of The Spoken Word.
With the It Pays to Be Vaccinated contest, your COVID-19 vaccination could pay off big time. Every Friday in August, you could win $150,000 and two scholarships of $10,000. Plus, if you've had both shots September 3rd, there's a draw for 16 scholarships of $20,000 and a jackpot of $1 million. Register now for the It Pays to Be Vaccinated contest at quebec.ca/vaccination contest. The sooner you're vaccinated, the faster you can take part. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Avec le concours Gagner à être vacciné, votre vaccination contre la COVID-19 pourrait vous rapporter gros. Chaque vendredi doux, un lot de 150 000 $ et deux bourses d'études de 10 000 $ sont à gagner. Et le 3 septembre, 16 bourses d'études de 20 000 $ et un gros lot d'1 million de $ seront tirés parmi les doubles vaccinés. Inscrivez-vous dès maintenant au concours Gagner à être vacciné au québec.ca/concours-vaccination. Plus vite vous êtes vacciné, plus vite vous pouvez participer.
Une bonne dose de courage et de persévérance pour traverser une pandémie.
Ça prend aussi une bonne dose de patience, de résilience, de confiance, d'optimisme, d'humour et d'amour. Une bonne dose de détermination, d'endurance, d'empathie, de motivation, d'ingéniosité et d'espoir.
Mais surtout, ça prend une deuxième dose de vaccin.
Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Oh, merci beaucoup, Mme Saint-Onge. J'aurais fait l'intro de Francis et les exerciceurs sur les ondes de CKUT Radio-McGill.